All right, slip that in your Bibles and grab Leviticus in the Old Testament here, if you'll turn with me there. A wonderful night of praying and calling on the Lord, and ate up quite a bit of time here for me to preach, but nonetheless, I have something to share. And so if you'll turn with me over to Leviticus 23, we're worshiping tonight the Feast of the Lord that God has ordained and established. And it's really fascinating in this chapter. We're certainly not going to get through all 44 verses in 10 minutes. Amen. But let's see what we can do and at least talk about a couple of things here, maybe on a 30,000-foot level looking down, and then we'll maybe dig in a little bit on some of these next week as well. But the amazing thing about this chapter, remember, God in this section, this is the holy section of Leviticus. It's when God reminds Israel that they're His and He's a holy God. They're set apart to Him. And one of the things He reminds them of here in chapter 23 is that our God is the God who redeems time. He's the God who is over time. He's the God who orders time. And that's our days. And not just our days, but the calendar. It's important to understand, our modern day calendar is not the way that the Jews kept time. God ordained their days, and He ordained a way that they should understand the seasons, that they should understand the things that take place through the seasons, through the months, through each day. Each day, praise God, is a sacred gift from God. You know, when you and I wake up in the morning, I love the picture of the resurrection. You know, you lie down in passing and you rise up to an eternity of days. But we practice that every night when we go and lay our head on our pillow. And we know we're going to rise up in the morning. And if we don't rise up here, our living hope is what? We rise up over there. Amen? And so we can go to bed at night and know He's faithful and He's true. And we can slumber and sleep because He never does. But those days, the rising up and the lying down, the calendar of days that God gives us. Here in chapter 23, it's really fascinating. God reminds His people of some special days that they should recognize. They have the relevance for each one day particularly of the week, and then several days that are particular in the particular year, and then one that's celebrated that they are supposed to recognize as a day of fasting. Now, a lot of times we read this, and I highlight that because a lot of times we associate the feasts of the Lord as times when they gathered to eat, and they did at times. But there's one day where they didn't feast, they fasted. And they were reminded of their dependence upon God. And so as the Lord celebrated Israel and set them apart, the way they measured time, the way they lived out their days, whether it was through the week with the Sabbath, whether it was through the year with their days when they celebrated the works that God has done, that was supposed to be a witness to the world around them. By the way, it's not changed for us, right? Even though, as we read in Romans, you'll also read it in Colossians chapter 2, Paul would say, be careful as believers that we not celebrate any one day above the others. Every day for the believer is a day of rejoicing, a day of feasting on Christ, right? But we do recognize that how we spend our days is a testimony to the world around us. These feasts, these celebrations, these gatherings that God ordained for His people, they're pictures for us of actually the work of Christ. Because remember, Jesus said, the story, it all points to Him. The grand narrative, everything you find from Genesis to Malachi, all the scriptures point to Him, particularly what we've seen in Exodus and Leviticus. Everything about worship points to Jesus, and that includes the days ordained for us to worship Him, to praise Him, to celebrate Him. These feasts, these convocations, these times that they gather together point to Christ. And when you reflect on them and think on them, you can see it tells us something about what Christ has done, about what God has done. And there's a reason why God ordained a particular day. And notice what He says. I'm just going to dive in and get us started here. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he said this, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations." That's the key. Remember the holiness code that God has ordained in this second half section of Leviticus, this section, the second half of it. This holiness code that's set apart. These are, I circled this in my Bible. They're my feasts. Just as it was his worship leaders, his priests, they ministered to him. They represented him, right? It was his house. Beloved, these are his feasts. They're a reminder of what he has done and what you and I should celebrate when we gather on these particular days. You say, but we're not Jews, right? We're Gentiles. We're the redeemed now. We're the church. Yeah, but let's just pause and think about how they may point us to him and the great work that God has done. 6 days you shall work, the work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. God orders the week, doesn't he? Well, he established that and showed us that right there in the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, and repeated it in the Exodus when he delivered his people out of bondage, reminded them as well, the Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, reminded them to honor the Sabbath. Why? Because you and I need rest. It's a reminder that God's the only one that can provide true rest, right? It's a time when we experience refreshment physically. And not just us. God was telling his people the need for rest and refreshment, also for their creatures. Did you know God's concerned about the creatures? If you go read over Proverbs, one of our favorite verses, I love the proverb which says, the righteous man cares for his creature. Don't be cruel towards your creature. Why? Because the next verse talks about harvesting the land. It may be that you exploit the land and exploit your creature to bring forth a harvest to enrich yourselves rather than realizing it's God who provides. It's God who sends the rain. It's God who gives the increase. Understand that you know what? You can work in such a way that you're not really resting and trusting in the Lord to provide. And so we have to be mindful of that. We need that rest. We needed that refreshment. And we're supposed to be stewards of the time that God gives us and steward of those gifts that he gives us and the resources that he gives us and the opportunity to do the work that he gives us. This was going to be the sign, listen, to all the pagans around them when God's people stopped working to rest. It was a testimony to the world. Listen, you and I, we have an opportunity to bear witness that our God is the one who gives us rest. Now, our rest is in Christ. We realize that. He's given us the rest that Joshua couldn't give God's people when they came into the promised land. We realize that from the book of Hebrews. But the special sign that we give witness that we belong to the Lord. The Sabbath, listen, the Lord gave the Sabbath when they got to Mount Sinai. You see it recorded in Genesis 1, but it's in Exodus 19 when God speaks to his people and establishes in Exodus 20 that they are to recognize the Sabbath day and to do no work on it. Remember it. Remember that Sabbath day. It's an important principle. Most importantly, that we need to rest. Now, you say, what about us as believers? Paul said not to regard diets and days. What do we do? Should we? I mean, someone says, you know, you should rest on the Sabbath and not do anything. Remember blue law, like the blue laws they used to have, right? You don't do anything. There's some, like Chick-fil-A, right? You can't get chicken on Sunday, right? There's some other businesses that are bringing that back. I don't know if you realize that, but realizing that rest is a good thing. Now we realize that just taking a day off, that's not what is about true rest. Ultimately, our rest is in Christ. And if you haven't found him, then you'll never, ever experience true rest until you do. And you need to realize that God ordains all of our days. He's in control of all of our days. And he does want us to bear witness to the world around us that he has ordained our time. And so they are to do no work on the Sabbath. Think about this. They're in the wilderness Remember on those days that they were supposed to collect the manna? Each day they went out and did their work and gathered the manna as they were in the wilderness, right? They collected, and it was fascinating. No matter how much they collected, everybody got the same measurement once they came back. Except on the day before the Sabbath, what were they supposed to do? Collect a double amount. Now, if you kept it on those other days, it's always fascinating to me when they'd go out and do their work. If they gathered too much and had a little bit left over, what was it the next day? Maggots. Well, that just sounds great. What am I eating, right? And yet, on that one day, when they collected a double amount, it didn't become maggots. Isn't that amazing? It was a testimony to them of God's provision, of God being able to provide. Listen, it's a healthy reminder for us workaholics, right? Let's speak, amen. Easy, brother. Okay. Amen. Now, you know what? I need to be always reminded, He's sufficient. He provides. And that's not a license or, you know, that doesn't give me liberty to just sit back on the lazy boy and do nothing, right? Don't squander the time, redeem the time. Make the most of the time, Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5, especially because the days are evil. I want to redeem the time and make, I want to walk in wisdom doing that. But I do need to be mindful of how God has ordained each day of the week and the purpose of the Sabbath or the purpose of testifying by resting who my provider truly is and his sufficiency. Now, I don't have time to go through all the feasts, but I promise I will starting next week, okay? We won't rush through this because each one of these gives us a beautiful picture of Christ and something he has done for us. And I think it's mindful that we should see how the story points to him and why we should celebrate in the calendar the days he's given us. Let's pray that we'll do that. Father, thank you for ordaining our days. We're mindful that you've written them all in a book. We're not going to add one to them, nor take one away. And yet, Lord, we confess sometimes we're anxious about our days. And Jesus says, why are we like that? We're like, we can't add one cubit to our life. God, tonight, help us to find that Sabbath rest in Jesus. And God, help us to rejoice in it. God, help us to make the most of the time you do have for us, Lord, and redeem it. But Lord, our eyes look to you. We know that you are our haven of rest. So Lord, tonight, rejuvenate our bodies, strengthen our bodies for the labor you have for us. And may we do it joyfully, Lord, that work you give us to do. And may we be diligent in it and make the most of it throughout the week so that when that time to rest comes, we can replenish, rejuvenate, and rejoice as we relate to you. We give all this praise, glory, and honor to our Redeemer, our Savior, our King, Jesus. For his sake, we pray. Amen and amen.